We are a people of prophecy. God's prophetic word brought us forth. And that means our lives are regulated by prophetic utterance. The body moves in the direction of what is in the mouth. Your words are laws. We are here to live out the word of God. I told you, this is why we talk for a living. No man ever became greater than the quality of the words he spoke and heard. It's for we are children of the prophets. We are products of their prophetic utterances and of the covenant which God made with our father Abraham.
I don't know why I always have the urge to sing in services. Please, who can help me explain the situation? Is it a good thing? Amen. Hallelujah. Is it good? You know, the easiest way to your hearts are songs. That's how we tell you. A song that doesn't have meaning, don't sing it. Don't say, Pastor, it's just a song. No, it's not just a song. The easiest way to your heart is through songs. Have you noticed that the concept of singing is not now? It's ancient. In fact, they are doing a research now that a good way to stop wars and fights or battles is to play certain music. I'm aware it's been experimented. Okay, just play music from the air. And then people just forget they are supposed to shoot. And hallelujah. Glory to God. Is that powerful? Is that very powerful? Very, very powerful. Okay. Don't just say, we came to church to hear the word of God. Why are they singing? That may be the word of God you hear that day. Hallelujah. For some, sometimes what you require in the service may come through the songs. And then just get a hold of it. Sometimes the opening of your heart you require. This is why the worship team is very spiritual. They did something to me in first service. Amazing. They just created an atmosphere. And I just flowed. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. And thank you for interrupting your plans. Amen. I'm sorry. Sorry for interrupting your plans. I'm supposed to say sorry, not thank you, right? For interrupting your plans. I'm sure you planned a second service songs. One fine song, Pastor. Please, you should not be angry. First lady, am I forgiving? Yeah. Sorry, I'm forgiving, right? Okay, you sing the song another time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How would our life have been without God? Have you ever stopped to think about it? You think you are going through something right now? Imagine if God is not available. Hallelujah. Never envy those in the world. The Bible says their minds are darkened. And through the ignorance that is in them, they are alienated from the life of God. But it says we, because of the illumination of the gospel, we are partakers of the promise. We are partakers of the commonwealth of Israel. Listen, that you have not obtained it yet doesn't mean it's not yours. Is somebody listening to me this morning? Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm born again. I'm glad I know Jesus. Jesus is the trending thing right now in the whole world. Hallelujah. I say Jesus is the trending thing right now in the whole world. Who believes that? Never be ashamed of Jesus. Never be ashamed of his gospel, never be ashamed of his word. Always take a stand. It doesn't matter who is against you. It doesn't matter what is against you. It doesn't matter what you are going through. When you take a stand with the word of God and look into the future, you will see that those troubles are not part of your future. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't it amazing that you just sit down and look into your future and see that the adversaries you are contending with right now, they are not part of your future. And you see that the challenges, that's how God wants us to see. You see that you look into 5 years from now, you can't see this little trouble you are going through. You can't see it. You can't see it. You can't see it. You just see the weight of glory. You just see the workings, the outworkings of the goodness of God. You just see that the Lord is showing you his marvelous kindness in a strong city. Hallelujah. No, always learn to see that and see the future. When you see the future through the lens of God's word, your adversaries are not there. The troubles, they are not there. The current circumstance is not there. It will expire. You would outlive it. Hallelujah. Learn to look at what you are confronted with at different seasons and tell that thing, I will overwhelm you. Oh, do I have people of faith here this morning? You look at the financial situation, you tell it, I will overwhelm you. Hallelujah. I will grow faster than you. I will move faster than you. In the next 5 years, you'll be behind me. In the next 1 year, you'll be behind me. In the next 6 months, you'll be behind me. In the name of the Lord Jesus. You can't speak like that and feel depressed. And feel depressed. And by the way, hope you know depression is not something to, how do I put it? You know when something is fashionable? Okay. You know, I'm just depressed. Okay, I just feel depressed. Hello, you're a Christian. And for you, what you have is the oil of gladness. Not the spirit. We call it depression. You know what the Bible calls it? The spirit of heaviness. Every time you're having bouts of depression, you are seeing it coming. Don't entertain it. Listen, when you understand where something is going, you will stop it. Somebody said the serpent in Genesis became the dragon in Revelation. Yes. If you don't kill it, it becomes a dragon. Do you understand? I just feel depressed. The depression came to kill you. Before you know, you start have suicidal ideation. Before you know, you start have suicidal tendencies. Before you know, it's suicidal attempt. Amen. So kill it. Every thought of depression, arrest it. The Bible said, bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ, arresting every thought, casting down reasonings, casting down thought patterns that are not consistent with the word of God. Our human culture doesn't define us. Our human culture is not a revelation of God. Are you aware? So that people are trying to make depression trending doesn't mean is consistent with the word of God. Deal with it. Call it what it is. The spirit of heaviness. Say, you spirit of heaviness, get out of here. I'm the Lord's anointed whose right hand is holding. And he has said, I will not fail nor be discouraged. No depression in my path. Address it. The same thing. Fear is a spirit. Fear is not something fashionable. That you just do fashion with it. I'm so scared. It's so scary. I was so scared. There's this fear I have. You know. I know my fears. These are just your fears. Where did you get them from? The Bible says a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from above. So when did God give you the fear? Rather, what did he say? He said, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. But of love, of power, and of what? Of a sound mind. Sophronismos. Of a sound mind. So, you know, my fears. Listen, let me tell you this. It's good to read books, motivational books, but when they are crossing Bible lines, stop there. You must read every material through the lens of God's word. Shine the word of God on it. You must extract, you must judge every language with the word of God. It could be a popular way of saying things, but is it consistent with the word of God? If it's not consistent with the word of God, it's going to confuse your spirit. The Bible says, if a man seems to be religious and not bridle his tongue, that man's religion is vain. James 8. And he says, if you don't bridle your tongue, you confuse your spirit. That's what he says. It's in the Bible. You deceive your spirit. And you don't want to deceive your spirit. Because your life is an expression of the condition of your spirit. No matter how you try and try, it's a program. Until you change the program, the outcome cannot change. Is somebody following me this morning? The Bible says when you don't bridle your tongue. To bridle your tongue, that means to say things that are consistent with the will of God, the word of God. He says your religion is vain and you deceive your heart. And your heart is the engine room of your life. It will produce for you what is inside. Did you know that you can never experience on the outside what your heart doesn't know? Your heart is programmed to reproduce for you what it has experienced. And words program your heart. Hallelujah. In fact, the major way God has control over our lives is by controlling our mouth. Remember what it says. It says, we put bits in horses' mouth. And we control the horses. We say, how many of you have gone on horse riding before? Okay, you rode a horse before. Can I see your hand? I have. How did you... The horse is so big. How did you control the horse? There was something on the mouth of the horse, right? When you moved that thing left, the horse went where? Left. When you moved it right, it went where? Right. When you moved it forward, what happened? It stayed straight. The Bible says the same way God takes control of our lives by taking control of our mouth. Just like we put something in the mouth of the horse to control the horse, the way God can take control of our life is by putting his words in our mouth. So when you are praying, oh Lord, take control of this situation, God is saying, how I take control is by putting my words in your mouth. By letting me put my words in your mouth. You say, Lord, take control of this marriage. Get God's words about the marriage. Lord, take control of my finances. Get God's word about finances. Lord, take control of my health. Get God's word about health. Oh, I'm just a sick person. God is not there. God is not there. Haven't you read that those that dwell in Zion, none shall say, I am sick? He says, none shall say, I am sick. He takes control by taking control of our mouth. Listen, Satan has no legal right to do anything in any life until the person says it. And he knows. This is why when Satan is putting pressure on you, on your marriage, on your finances, on your job, on your health, one of the things on his mind is to get you to say the wrong things. That's what he's after. Because he cannot really do what he wants to do. Read the book of Job very well. What was Job's problem? Who knows? His mouth. He says, I was not in safety and I was not quiet about it. That means he kept saying, I know I'm not safe. I know these are my children. They are not safe. He kept saying it. That became the opening of the door for Satan to come in. Very important. James said, by this we know a perfect man. Hi. He said, this is how we know a matured. The word perfect that teleos, it means to be matured. Christian maturity is connected to the use of the tongue. Didn't you read what Paul said? He said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. Talking about spiritual babyhood. We can stratify you in the spirit by your speakings. We listen to you talk for 5 minutes. We know your position in the spirit. It's true. The Bible says so. It's a he that offended not in words. That's how we know a perfect man. These are laws in the spirit. You have to use them to your advantage. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Lessons from Joseph. This should be part 8 or part 9 now. I don't know. Part 10. Are you serious? It's not up to. It should be part 8 or 9. Yes. All right, lessons from Joseph. In the first service, we talked about lesson 10. We said management and leadership skill are critical to your success on the earth. Management and leadership skills. I'm going to define what management was. Or what management is. So management simply means what? Judicious and intelligent use of resources to achieve an end. All right? Judicious and intelligent use of scriptures to achieve an end. And we said, as long as you live on the earth, according to scriptures, you would have to pick up these skills. If not, you are likely going to waste God's investment. You are likely going to waste the giftings Did you know that we all have signature giftings? You know what we call signature giftings? There's something God has programmed to you that only you in the whole world can do. That signature gifting. We can waste our giftings, God's blessings, God's opportunities without these skills. Very important. I would say this is where many people are trapped. You can feel talented, feel anointed, feel gifted. If you don't understand leadership and management, you keep wasting resources from year to year. You can't build anything that stands. Very important. And we pick examples from the Bible. Moses was anointed. Moses had terrible encounters with God. Yet the next level required management and leadership skill. Jethro had to bring the wisdom to him. He said, Moses, this thing you are doing is not good. You don't understand management. You don't understand how to build. You don't understand how to lead effectively. Bid out toward God for the people. Teach them the ordinances of God. And appoint leaders from tribes and families to judge, leaders over 50, over 100, over 1,000. And all that to lead them. Over 10, 50, 100, and 1,000. To lead the people. He told him something. He said, he's not good. Hallelujah. Now, look up at me, everyone. Did you know that Moses was in a position to reject what Jethro said? This is why, listen, in life, a necessary requirement for fulfilling your dreams is humility. What did I call it? Humility. God can use people that don't have as much results, as much exposure, as much money as you have to talk to you about the necessary thing for the next level. If you ignore it because of their status, you get stuck. Did you hear what I said? He had everything. How come he didn't just say, Jethro, what are you talking about? I see God all the time. How come God did not tell me? Can I shock you? There are things God will never tell you by himself. He will send you to a man to tell you. He's a law on the earth. Didn't Paul meet God on the way to Damascus? Meet Jesus? Did Jesus tell him everything? He said, go and meet Ananias. In fact, he did not open his eyes. Even the confessions to be filled with the Holy Ghost, he had to send him to a man. Jesus was there standing before him. Was Ananias more anointed than Jesus? He sent him to a man. He sent him to a disciple. The same thing with Cornelius. An angel appeared in the place of God in power with such glory that probably if you looked at Moses on the outside, he didn't have such glory. But you know what the angel told Cornelius? He said, send for Peter. He will tell you words by which you'll be saved. I can't do it. God has ordained that on earth, men lift men. I thought I was going to get an amen. So for some of you seated there, God has sent me to you this morning to give you these keys for your next level. You have been wasting resources. You have been wasting opportunities. You think you don't have anything at home, just like the widow. The prophet said, what do you have in your house? She said, nothing but a jar of oil. You can't call it nothing. When there's oil in the house, you can't call it nothing. He said, go and borrow vessels. Borrow not of you and begin to pour. Hallelujah. Management and leadership skills. What I'm doing just to stir you up to learn in that life. What is leadership? Leadership is the ability to go from here there. Or let me put it this way. Leadership is the ability to know or see where you or we ought to be and to know how to get there. That's simply leadership. Somebody defined leadership as having a compass in your head and a magnet in your heart. The magnet draws the people. The compass gives them direction. But you know what? We can't talk about leadership without first talking about personal leadership. Ability to lead yourself from point A to point B is the beginning. The same way we can't talk about management without talking about managing yourself and managing the resources that you already have. Hallelujah. Genesis 37, we saw that Joseph displayed unusual management ability in his father's house. In Genesis 39, in the house of Potiphar, where he was sold to slavery. Yes, the Lord was with him, but he needed, listen, I said in the first service, God will always require a contact point on the earth for his power to work. Never forget that. If the contact point is not there, it's as though God's power is not available. Didn't you read that the children of Israel limited the Holy One of Israel? Can God be limited? Yes. God can be limited on earth, in a man's life, in a people's life, in a place. God can be limited. He can. We saw it in scriptures. Jesus told the Pharisees, he says, you have made the word of God of non-effect. Why? Tradition. Non-effect. The word of God is God's material for creation. God's material for change. God's material for transformation. But he says certain people made it of non-effect. Meaning they robbed it of its power. Why? Tradition. A way of thinking. A way of doing things. Are you still here? When he got thrown into the prison, we saw the same management skills and leadership skills. When he was brought out of prison and interpreted Pharaoh's dream, and Pharaoh picked him to walk, we saw unusual leadership and management of resources. Where do we get the concept of putting aside 20% from that people use all over the world, even in business schools that teach them? Where do we get it from? A covenant man called Joseph. It says in the 7 years of abundance, put a fifth part, which is 20%. That's management. Hallelujah. We talked about 7 areas you must master in management personally to thrive and to rise. Number one, your mind. Managing your mind. Number two, managing your money. Number three, relationships. Number four, your time. Number five, your desire. That's your appetite. Your appetite in bracket, your desire system. Number six, your emotions, your feeling system. Number seven, your tongue. You can write it down. We'll just major on a few, maybe just the mind itself. Mind and relationship. We'll find time later in the year to run through the seven at once. You must learn to judiciously use it. Have you noticed that what we call the dominion mandate in Genesis chapter 1 is connected to management and leadership? In Genesis chapter 2, I believe Genesis chapter 2 verse 15, read it last week, the Bible says God placed the man he created where? In the Garden of Eden to do what? To tend it and to keep it. That's leadership and management. To tend it and to keep it. God made Adam the manager of the world. And he made him the leader of his creation. Did you get that? He made him the manager of the world and the leader over his creation. He made him the manager of the world and a leader over his creation. So every human being, every Christian has the innate ability to lead and to manage effectively. The major problem we have in Africa, if we were to summarize it, is these two things, management and leadership. Management and leadership. And the government is not the answer. Guess who is the answer? Church, talk to me. Who do you think is the answer? The church. No, shout it out. Who is the answer? Who is the answer? Shout it like you believe it. Who is the answer? The church. The church. We are waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. We'll wait forever. The church. The Bible calls the church the ground and the pillar of truth. So church is not where you come to have social engagements or come to appease your religious conscience. No. Is where you come to be stirred. Is where you come to be empowered, emboldened to carry out that leadership mandate and management mandate of the earth. to manage the earth and lead God's creation. Did you get that? So every message you hear in a good church should help you, should help equip you to lead God's creation and to manage God's resources on the earth. Very important. Very important. We stopped at Hebrews 11:15. Put it up now. We'll continue from there. Managing your mind. Managing your mind. When you study the life of Joseph, he had an excellent mind. Very excellent mind. How did he know the interpretation of the dream? An excellent mind. How was he able to carry out the interpretation? An excellent mind. There was a sound mind that he had. There was a way of thinking that he had. When Pharaoh said, oh, there's no man as discreet as you. There's no man as wise in all of Egypt as you. Let's put you over. What did Joseph do? No, I'm just coming from prison. Maybe make me an assistant. I'm not sure. Do you know that's what many Christians do? Because the size of our minds are small. You are praying and fasting. Oh, Lord, open the door. Oh, Lord, open the door. When the door opens, you feel you can't. And you hand it over to people who don't even know better than you. Inferiority complex. Did we see Joseph do that? Oh, Pharaoh, I'm an ex-convict. Oh, Pharaoh, for now, I don't think I can handle it. Maybe, you know, when I tell people in church to do things and they do that, it annoys me. I looked at you, I say, handle this. You are now doing, what's wrong with you? Don't you know God trusts you? Are you aware? God believes in you. When humans design products, they put warranty on them. We are God's products. And there's a warranty on our lives. God is sitting on his throne and saying, this one cannot fail. Try him. Oh, hallelujah. That was a good place to shout there. This one cannot fail. Try him. No inferiority complex. No cowering and acting like. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is it okay? And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came, from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. I said, this is the key to managing your mind. What you set your mind on. Very important principle. You see, if they had been mindful, the opportunity will be created. That means for anything to happen on the outside, the mind must be full of it. Did you get that? Two ways to explain this. Every time God wants to do something through you, he puts it on your mind. Or every time you want to get a thing done, you saturate your mind with it. You want to change how you behave, change your thinking. And how do you change how you behave? Making your mind full of the information that will cause you to behave the way you want to behave. Have I lost you? Are you still here? Yes, sir. He said, they have been mindful, they will have the opportunity to have returned. Lord, this is what I want to do. I'm not having the opportunity. You know your answers now. Your mind is not full of it. Your mind is not full of it. I'm giving you a secret too. Your mind is not full of it. There are two major sides of your mind. The logical side, where you just think, and the imaginative component. You require these two to rise. The Bible says, I pray that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. The mind is the part of the soul. Meaning your general prosperity, your financial prosperity and prosperity in health is connected to the prosperity of your mind. That's what he's saying. If your mind can prosper, he said you'll prosper. This is why you must pay attention to your mind. You don't just garbage in, garbage out. You just think rubbish for days. You don't care. You have to pay attention. You have to pay attention because it's spiritual. With your mind, you can create the opportunities. We read it in Proverbs 23:7, right? It says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he as a pinket. And I told you that the Hebrew word pinket there is shahar, right? And it means what? The opening of a gate. Meaning with your thoughts, you bring in possibilities. Whether positive or negative. Saturate it with the right information. Instead of thinking lack all the time, why not think the Lord is my shepherd? I shall not want. And then you bombard your mind with that. And when your mind is mindful, opportunity will be created. Are you getting the mechanism now? Let your mind be full of it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Christ is my righteousness. Christ is my wealth. Christ is my supply. The Bible says God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may give unto all good works. Set your mind on it. Set your mind on it. The gates are simple. Your eyes, your ears, and your mouth. Meaning you watch what you hear. You know, when I tell especially younger Christians to be careful with listening to music that don't represent the kingdom. Notice I didn't say Christian music. I didn't say non-Christian music. Music that don't represent the kingdom. Someone said, Pastor, it's just music. No. No. In fact, a research was done and they said that music permeates the hemispheres of your brain without your consent. Meaning music, what you are listening to, will seep into your subconscious without you consciously knowing. And once it seeps, that's where the programming happens. Once anything seeps to your subconscious, you are it. Did you get that? We call it subliminal impact. You don't know it, but it's entering. The same way, wrong information. This is why you can't hang around toxic people. Let me tell you something. Please, be loyal to your future. Did you hear what I said? Be loyal to what? To your future. Be loyal to your future. Your future is begging you. Be loyal to it. Don't, because of sentiment, keep toxic people around you that only give you negative picture of who you are. Telling you who you are not. Confining you to how you look. See your yam legs. See. And the thing is entering and you are quiet because she's your roommate. You have to tell her, babe, these are the most perfect legs there are on earth right now. I'm serious. And if they say that consistently, warn them. I don't want to hear such things. If you're not going to tell me how beautiful and gracious I am, keep quiet. Are you following me? You think that doesn't have impact on you? It does. It does. What you hear, what you watch. You sit and you're watching junks and you say nothing is happening. It's a lie. Something is happening. It's even younger people I'm much concerned with. If you are old and you're watching stupid things, only you know the demons you're having fellowship with. It's not my business. I will see you and pass. I may not even talk to you. I've carried somebody's home before. I saw stupid pornography. Didn't I say, is it where you are? Continue. Fire on. Fire on. You will pay back. Fire on. You destroy your creativity. Listen, your mind is the major tool you have on the earth. Don't you understand? When you choke it and block it with rubbish, you are finished. Keep it alive. Keep it inspired. Keep it seeing the days to come. It is with your mind you can see the days to come. Oh, do you know that the future belongs to us? Yeah. I saw that from scriptures yesterday. In my room, I was shouting. You remember 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 20? He says, all things are yours. All things are present. All things are yours. Whether Paul, Apollos, or Cephas. He said, the world is yours. Life and death, those realities are yours. He said, things present. And watch the second part. Things to come. He said, they are all yours. Ah! Things to come. That's the future. He said, it's yours. Oh, hallelujah. He said, things to come. Meaning the things you are supposed to engage in, to have, to control in the next 10 years, say they are already yours. Things to come. I saw it. I said, my goodness, the future belongs to us. So when we say we own the future, we are not being braggadocious. We are declaring the word of the Lord. We are giving testimony to God's word. You stand in that small shop and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, this has become a super mall. Somebody looks at you. Listen, if you are really in faith, right, especially when you are starting out, you look like a big joke to men of the senses. You look like it. Imagine us when we were like maybe 30 members and we're shouting, we are taking the nations. We'll have churches in major cities all over the world preaching the gospel to their community. We will touch, we will send missionaries out in the name of Jesus. We'll pack our stadium. We'll be on television. We'll be everywhere. It will be, you know, saying those things. And imagine you come, we're just 30 young people, students, shouting. Someone will say, Pastor, I have a prophecy. The Lord said he has given us the radio and the TV and the internet. And we'll just shout. We have the radio on campus. We have the radio. We have the internet. Then you are looking for, maybe you go to the, you are looking for toothpaste to brush your teeth. Listen, circumstance doesn't change status. Circumstance doesn't change status. You are declaring, we are using billions to preach the gospel. In the name of the Lord Jesus, billions. We will buy up estates. We will buy up TV stations. We will buy up corporations. Just talking. 3 shirts, 2 trousers. Let me tell you, in this life, have a big mouth. Your bank account may not be big yet, but let your mouth be very big. When you talk, let people look again. Who is talking? Shout somebody now. Why keep it quiet? When you talk, people look again. Are you serious? Some will have faith. We will try to say amen. 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 Hallelujah. Say amen. They're just looking. Amen. But let those things resonate with your heart. In no time, you'll be catapulted into the experience. Is somebody following me? Mind what you listen to. Mind what you listen to. Be open to the right information. There's a lot you don't know yet. Everybody here, including me. Are you aware? There's a lot you don't know yet. I made mention of something in the first service. I say, work harder on yourself than on your work. Let me tell you the future of the world. Those who work harder on themselves, that's on their mind, than on their work, are going to rule those who work harder on their work than on their minds. Write it down. In the next 10 years, you tell me I'm correct. You know what that means? It becomes foolishness when you say, I need to open my shop and make money. Instead of going for a business seminar or a church service that is supposed to add value to your mind to improve your productivity. Especially for young people. I was talking to one who said, I can't understand. We had Market Square. You're not around. You say we're in the shop. How much is that shop generating? No, talk to me. The extra 3 hours you want to stay in that shop, how much will it mean? How much are you going to make? Compared to the information that will improve your mind to put you ahead. Every time you see yourself working harder on your work than on your mind, you are in the wrong direction. You hear what I said? I don't care what you do. Never work harder on your work than you work on your mind. On your mind means you are getting new information on how to move this business to another level, on how to move the ministry to another level, on how to move your life. Do I need a master's? Do I need a PhD? Do I need to run a course here? Do I need to read this book? Do I need to tie up my financial management skills? The most annoying part is when you exchange serious opportunity to improve your mind to stay on your work. It's not wisdom. Somebody said he didn't come for Tuesday service because he's in the shop and they are customers. How much did you think you made compared to what you lost by not being for Tuesday service? How much? You know, it's wisdom. Wisdom. Haven't you read that the labor of the foolish wearies every one of them. You are laboring year to year, no increase, no significant increase. You know what he says? He says, because they do not know the way, how to enter the city. What does that tell you? Wisdom. The how is the wisdom. There's a way to move your business gross, monthly gross, from 50,000 to 500,000. It exists. No matter what you do, there's a way. But it's not going to come by you working harder on the work. It's going to come by you working harder on your mind. That thing below your skull. Is somebody listening to me? And developing your spirit. Say they are tired, they are weary, they are foolish. Are they not laboring? Talk to me. Are they laboring or not? They're laboring. Say the labor of the foolish wearies every one of them. They get tired because he knoweth not how to go to the city. There's a how. There's a how to go to the city. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. Say, I love wisdom. Say it. Say, I love the wisdom of God. Say, I open my mind to the wisdom of God. Managing your mind. Don't let junks come in. Philippians 4 gives us the syllabus. We call it thinking syllabus. Philippians chapter 4 from verse 8. 8 or 8? 8, yes. He gives us the thinking syllabus. What to think. He said, finally, brethren. Tap your neighbor. Say, finally, brother, sister. He said, whatsoever things are true. That means for something to take bite space in your brain. You know, that's what I used to tell myself. I said, this cannot take bite space in my brain. Pass. I'm talking to myself. Oh, I don't let rubbish talk. Say, pass. You can't. There are too many things to put in the space. I celebrate you. Pass. 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 So you test every thought with this. You judge every thought. Whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just. So is it honest? Is it true? Is it just? Whatever things are pure. Aya. Is it pure? So if it's not pure, don't let it. Tell it to pass. Jesus said, take no thought, saying. And I said in the first service, how do you take thought? By saying. That means thought pass, but you take the one you want. He said, take no thought. You take the thought. Take no thought, saying, is it pure? He said, whatsoever things are lovely. Oh, is it lovely? Is the thought lovely? Foolish man, I pray you just die. Is that lovely? Because of what he did to you. Because of what he did to you. Don't you know our kingdom doesn't operate like that? When I counsel people that are, is it jilted? What's the word again? Jilted, sorry. In relationship, one of the things I tell them is pray for the person. It may be difficult. More, you know, in your human flesh, you wish the person would just hit rock and die. Sorry, God doesn't think that way. And in fact, that thinking will not contribute to your next phase. Rather, think like this. God takes away the first, that he may establish the second. Amen. And the second is established upon better promises. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. The thoughts, lovely thoughts. Lovely thoughts. What's the next thing? Read it for me. What's the next thing? Whatever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, that's moral excellence. So the thought, does it have moral excellence? You are thinking of how to cheat, how to adjust the measure to cheat the client or the customer. Does it have virtue? Is there any virtue in it? The question you ask yourself is, how much am I going to make out of this? Reprogram your thinking. If there be any praise, Read the last part for me, everybody. Want to go? Read it again. Read it again. Think on these things. He shows us what to think of. Hallelujah. Managing your money. Money is important. Let me just give you a quick skill. The reason why many small businesses don't rise is ignorance of financial management. Managing your money. There's making money. There's managing money. There's multiplying money. There's ministering money. I told you the four M's. Apart from making money alone cannot give you financial freedom or financial governance. You must understand how to manage and how to multiply. In managing money, you force expenditure under income. Basically, I'm just giving basically the other things the business people will teach you. First, don't spend what you don't have. Did you hear what I said?
Yes,
don't spend what you don't have. Don't spend to impress people that don't exist. Listen, the greatest freedom you can have is freedom from men. You now mortgage your future. Borrowing money is to spend the money of tomorrow today. The money of 5 years, you spend it today. You say, who told you you can't wear what you have for the wedding? Who told you? Wait, you think people are really looking at you? The first lesson you should learn is nobody is looking at you. I'm serious. Nobody is looking at you. If you're a lady, know that God has anointed a few people to look at you. And with where you are now, they're already looking at you. Are you listening? So to go beyond, to spend money you don't have yet. Amen. To try to impress people that don't exist. In fact, to impress some people that don't even like you is foolishness. Are you listening to me? The whole money that came, you bought a big screen in the sitting room. And then you come home at 8 p.m. every day. Who is watching the TV? Where is the wisdom? Let me tell you how the spirit of poverty works. The moment money comes, the spirit of poverty pursues you. It just pushes you. If you are not done spending, there's no rest. When the whole money has finished, you are now resting. You breathe down. Say, I'm delivered. You now, that's when the rest comes. Buying what you do not plan for, who? To impress who? To impress who? Nobody's looking at you. Nobody's looking. I'm telling you, you'll be surprised. In this world, there are only a few people that are looking at you. Only very few. And chances are, the way you are, they already like you. I'm telling you the truth. So it's not... Don't do that thing. Some of you have shoes that you never use in the next 10 years. I assure you, give them out. Am I talking to someone this morning? Manage your resources, your financial and material resources. For every money that comes to you, put something aside. I taught on that 2 Sundays ago. Put something aside. You can use it eventually, no problem. But that discipline to put some, you must have it, no matter how little. Are you listening? The discipline to spend within what you have now is important. In the early days, Bishop Wade Paul talks about how they had a spending plan in their family budget. And then the children went and finished the whole gari. Okay, that they do. So on the menu that day was beans and gari. So the gari was finished. So they were asking their dad, he said, what are we eating the beans with, sir? He said, with spoon. With spoon. He said, with spoon. With spoon. You wait till it's shopping time. You eat it with spoon. Not emotional spending. Not emotional spending. Are you listening? And as a man, you have to be disciplined and train your wife that way. So that you don't yield to emotions. Listen, money is not for spending. It is profit that is for spending. the money has come. No. 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 That money in your hand is a leverage for the next phase. It could be a seed. It could be put aside. It could be invested in a business. You just sort out pressing the basic things. Not that you are boiling. Have you been blessed this morning? I'm out of time. Rise to your feet. Hallelujah. I still have a lot to share. Amen. We'll continue next Sunday. 2 services. Hallelujah.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.